Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA.
Oh my gosh.
They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west.
Look at that thing, dude.
That's not our LNS though, is it?
Well, if there's like another thing,
it's rotating.
Two Navy pilots training in their F-18 off the coast of San Diego in 2004, confused, you can hear them bewildered by what they're seeing outside the cockpit. That video was released this past August by the Defense Department, but a lot of people saw it for the first time this past weekend in a report from the New York Times. And that report says that between 2007 and 2012, the Pentagon spent $22 million on the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program investigating reports of, you guessed it, unidentified flying objects. So what exactly was going on at the Pentagon, and what were they hoping to find? Let's try to get to the bottom of this with Don Lincoln. He's an adjunct physics professor at the University of Notre Dame. He's also author of Alien Universe, Extraterrestrials in Our Minds and in the Cosmos. Don, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Does this appear to be a case of extraterrestrials really in the cosmos, or at least in the atmosphere, or purely in the minds of some bureaucrats and planners at the Pentagon?
Well, you know, that's hard to say. I mean, the thing to remember is that people are looking at UFOs, where the operative letter is U. It's unidentified flying objects. These are reports by sober-minded pilots who are, you know, they're not crazy. They should be taken seriously. But we don't know what they are. So I think that's the right way to think of it, is they're simply unidentified and thereby worth investigating.
Our minds immediately go to alien invaders from outer space, but the U just means unidentified. There's something flying and we're not quite sure what it is.
Well, and it might not even be something flying. I mean, you have to remember back in the 50s and 60s, there was a similar project called Project Blue Book, where there were 12,000 reports of people seeing something in the sky, and they were able to reject all but about 700 of them. So it's not even necessarily that there's something there. It could be flashes of light off cockpits. You know, we're just not sure. But the fact that we're not sure means it's a possibly interesting and worth investigating.
Well, Don, the video clip that we played at the top there is one that millions of Americans have seen by now. It shocked a lot of people. It surprised them. What did you make of it when you saw it?
It's interesting. I'm intrigued by it. I can't tell you what it is because it is, in fact, unidentified. But it's also grainy. It's low resolution. You know, I mean, I from a scientific point of view, I'd want more evidence before I'd conclude anything on it.
More evidence might be what the Pentagon was after if they steered $22 million toward investigating phenomena like this. Money well spent, as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, $22 million sounds like an awful lot of money to you and me, and of course it is, but it's a tiny, tiny fraction of the Pentagon's budget. And the Pentagon, I mean, they're tasked with, you know, keeping us safe, and that means investigating anything that could be, you know, of concern. Now, I would be terribly shocked if these things that they had seen were some kind of super weapon or some extraterrestrial. I really don't believe that's likely, but it would be irresponsible for them not to at least investigate. And this is a fairly modest cost.
Are there other examples maybe that you can think of times when the government or researchers have thrown money at a problem that seemed esoteric or not worth discovering, but led to something important?
Well, that's hard to say. I mean, certainly there's an awful lot of research that is done that just sounds really, really crazy. I mean, people have gotten money for, like, you know, the mating habits of mosquitoes, which sounds utterly insane. But if you can figure that out, then you might be able to control the population of mosquitoes, thereby reducing malaria in places where it's possible. So the point is that we don't know what we don't know, and we don't know what will come of this. My prediction is that it's probably mostly explainable things that people were unable to explain, but ultimately are explainable. But I absolutely think it's worth looking into.
Can we talk about something that's not mysterious at all and might be highly explainable, Don? Would that be okay?
Sure.
Apparently, this $22 million, CNN reported that most of the money went through a private aerospace company called Bigelow that was run by a guy called Robert Bigelow, who was a close friend and longtime contributor of former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Was this whole thing maybe just a boondoggle?
I mean, I could see absolutely why that might be of concern to someone, but I think maybe the way to take a step back is that Robert Bigelow has long been a UFO enthusiast, and when you get right down to it, who would investigate possible UFO or extraterrestrial sightings except for an enthusiast? What I would like to see, though, so for any of your listeners who watched the X-Files back in the day, there was Fox Mulder, who was the sort of true believer, but there was Dana Scully, who was the very skeptical scientist. And so if in this effort they went about it the right way, with people who wanted to investigate it with sort of a positive mindset, but they also had an equal number of highly skeptical people working with them, I actually don't have a problem with that.
Well, Don, what is it about us? You've written about this. You hear UFOs. We see some grainy pictures of things. We don't know what they are. Right away. I mean, come on, 90% of us, we can't help it. 95% of us, we start thinking about aliens and alien invasion. Is this Hollywood? Why do we think this way?
Well, I mean, the whole idea of us not being alone is just in the universe is compelling. It's interesting. I mean, there's a heck of a lot of space out there. There are 100 or several hundred billion stars in our galaxy alone. And life formed here on our planet. We also know from true sober science that maybe people might have thought was crazy, that there are planets around stars near us. We know this. And there is a distinct possibility that life has formed out there. And in fact, I would bet money that life does exist elsewhere in the universe. Intelligent life is a lot harder. I actually talked about that in my book, the distinction between just life and intelligent life. But it's not at all shocking when you see something like this to think, well, you know, maybe it could be a visitor.
Well, many of us will think it could be a visitor. And if you work at the Pentagon, you might think, well, we better throw $22 million at it to find out. Don Lincoln, author of Alien Universe, Extraterrestrials in Our Minds and in the Cosmos. Don, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Aloha, this is Michelle calling from Honolulu. I have believed since I was a little kid that we couldn't possibly be the only planet in the universe that has life. It wouldn't surprise me to find that we are on the level of Stone Age or indeed bacteria in the eyes of civilizations advanced far beyond the imaginings of our most astute sci-fi authors.
Do you believe? 8778 My Take.